News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, you hear me talking all the time about 1819 News. That's 1819news.com. You can find them. They're easy. I mean, so many people are going to them now. It's become one of the go-to sources for news in the state of Alabama. And I'm affiliated with those folks. They're tied to the Alabama Policy Institute like I am, and they're just great, solid people. One of the things that I really love about 1819 News is the fact that they call the balls and the strikes. They don't have what I call the skew and the spew in their news. When you see their news stories, it's just news. And they have their editorial content set off to the side so you can see where it is. It's not like it's blended into the story and you're having to weed through it and hopefully the reporter's not inflicting his pain upon you. No. Straight up news. But I also love this. It's called 1819 News because that's the year Alabama became a state. They love this state. So you're not just getting stories like, you know, the typical stuff that seems to be the most sensational. You're also getting stories that make you glad to live here. And I love that because I love this state and so do they. So 1819news.com, I encourage you to check them out. They are really making waves right now in the Alabama news industry. Got a great staff of reporters, great staff of editors, and a bunch of editorial writers. So yeah, check them out. 1819news.com. It's 1819news.com. Okay, we're moving to number two on the Triple Dipper. We're going to go ahead and crank it up right here, knowing full well that we got a break coming up that we're going to have to just come back and finish up. But I'm calling this section Bama at War. Bama at War. So the President of the United States is in Alabama today. Did you know that? President Biden, you can go to any number of the websites, 1819 News being one of them, and you'll find something, I'm sure, about the fact that President Biden is in Alabama today. He visited the Lockheed missile plant in Troy, Alabama, gave a speech while he was there, and, you know, whatever. He said some of the usual Biden things, but he did talk about the fact, though, that the people of the Lockheed plant in Alabama are contributing to the cause that is beating the Russians right now because those Javelin missiles, which is what they make there, those Javelin missiles, I've got a report right here from BreakingDefense.com. You ready? BreakingDefense.com. Story came out yesterday, actually. Since Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February, the U.S. Department of Defense has transferred billions of dollars worth of weapons and equipment to Ukraine. From drones to artillery, it's an unprecedented flow of weapons, it says. As a result, the Russians appear to have changed their goals. When you look through the list of things that have been sent, it's everything from howitzers, Russian-made helicopters, Mi-17 helicopters, Stingers, which is what you use to take down aircraft as a surface-to-air weapon system, UAVs, you know, unmanned aerial vehicles. One of the items that we have sent the most of, Javelin weapon systems, 5,500 plus Javelins. It's a man-portable, in case you're not familiar with it, it's what's called a man-portable medium-range tactical missile. It's designed to defeat main battle tanks and other armored vehicles. And so, literally, the Javelin has been wearing the Russians out. Now, you can look up, I saw a photograph. The Javelins that are made in Troy, Alabama, actually have it branded on there. I've seen a picture of them being unloaded in Ukraine, and you can clearly see on the side of them, you know, the green body of the missile tube, and it says, made in Troy, Alabama. Love that! Okay, so Alabama at War, there's the first piece I'm talking about. But see, things are happening right now. This war is taking a slightly different turn. It's starting to become more real. Story off of military.com that originally came from a magazine called Coffee or Die. Coffee or Die, I believe, is run by the guys who have Black Rifle Coffee. It says here, dated April 28th, two Americans, both former Army, wounded by artillery in Ukraine combat. We have Americans that have volunteered to fight over there. I believe we just lost a former British soldier the other day who was fighting with the Ukrainians. But it says two Americans volunteering in Ukraine's armed forces were wounded by artillery fire during combat in southeastern Ukraine on Wednesday, April 27th. If they're fighting in southeastern Ukraine, then that would mean they are probably one of the heaviest fighting areas somewhere around Mariupol. U.S. Army veterans Paul Gray and Manis McCaffrey were on a mission to destroy a Russian tank near Kharkiv, which may very well mean they were using a javelin if they're trying to destroy a tank, and possibly a javelin made here in Alabama. They were near Kharkiv, a small city in the path of Russia's ongoing military offensive in the south and east of Ukraine, and I believe that is down by Mariupol. Says the pair were waiting for a Russian tank to appear on the road when an artillery round struck nearby. McCaffrey suffered serious shrapnel wounds to his face, head, shoulders, and torso, and a concrete wall fell over onto Gray, momentarily trapping him and injuring his left foot. One of them, McCaffrey, is 20 years old, served in the Army's 75th Ranger Regiment. The other one, Gray, is originally from Texas, deployed to Iraq three times with the Army's 101st Airborne Division. All right, so we got American, we got former American soldiers fighting in Ukraine using weapons that came from Alabama. Now, as you look at this, what's happening right now is that there's a growing sense that if we're going to continue to feed weapon systems, that it's not just something that benefits Ukraine, but it benefits the states in which they're made. For instance, I guarantee you they've had to plus up the staffing at the Lockheed plant in Troy, Alabama. Article here from Politico. That's twice. I've been to Politico twice. That I'm going to tell you about when we get back. Talks about the fact that lawmakers are now trying to move things in terms of productivity for weapon systems to their states for their constituents to make. The business of war, I guess. We'll talk about that when I get back, because our own Congressman Mike Rogers had something to say about that, and I'll tell you why it matters to his district. Oh, yeah, Anniston Army Depot. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. You stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. So, hey, ZLA Solutions, hey, you heard me talk about them. I'm serious. They are legit. So I know these folks personally. ZLA Solutions is good at what they do, and what they do, their bread and butter, is getting people back to work. If you need a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got great jobs posted all over North Alabama. A lot of them with high wages. I mean, they had some recently that were like $20 an hour. So that's cool, but they really help you get large groups if you're an employer. So if you need a staffing source, well, they're it. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. And they are placing people left and right now. They have major clients all over the northern part of the state. ZLA Solutions, they like to say at ZLA, we don't make it, we just make it better. And they do. That's like their mission in life, is to make your business better. So yeah, they are putting people back to work in epic fashion right now. Check them out at ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLAUSA.com. All right, so I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper. Time now, 4:08 p.m. on a Tuesday that feels like a Friday. But nonetheless, I'm on Tuesday. So I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, which is Bama at War. I told you a few minutes ago, right before the break, that President of the United States is in Alabama today. I went down to Troy, Alabama, to go to the Lockheed plant where they make Javelin missiles. Over 5,500 Javelin missiles, many of which are made in Troy, have been shipped to Ukraine and are taking out Russian tanks left and right. I mean, those have been game changers. And, you know, in the president, I don't usually have great things about what he does to say, great things to say about what he does, but the reality is, I'll call him good when I see him. He pointed out to the staff today at Lockheed that they are making a difference in the war. And they are. Those javelins are doing the deal. And they are highly effective. Right now, there are some pundits who believe that the Soviet Army, there's a flashback to where I'm from, the Russian Army is largely combat ineffective in certain portions of the front. And that's in part because of those javelins. Well, so what's happening right now, story off Politico, dated January of this year. As this was ramping up, as it was seen as a necessity to begin building up the Ukrainians, and this was back, by the way, when it was, amid, and the story even says it, amid fears of a Russian invasion. Well, we're 70 days in. So the fears have been realized. At that point already, members of Congress were beginning to push for faster sales of tanks to Poland and other NATO countries in the area. One of the things they're looking at right now is the concept of outfitting NATO, getting away from Soviet-style weapons, and outfitting NATO countries with American-made weapons and weapon systems to include M1 Abrams tanks. And if they can do that, then they have standardization across the board. It reduces the logistic trains. It reduces the burdens upon the ability to find parts, ammunition, all of it. It also allows for cross-training and cross-pollination of weapon systems. All right, that being said, ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee is Congressman Mike Rogers from Alabama, who has been pushing for a speed-up of the process of getting M1 tanks to Poland. Not only that, he's not only trying to expedite the sale of 250 M1A2 Abrams to Poland to reinforce NATO, but he also has, within his district, I think actually a sliver of Fort Benning, which comes across the border from Georgia. But the other piece that he has is the Anniston Army Depot. So the Anniston Army Depot, a lot of folks don't realize what that is. I mean, I've lived next to it for three decades, near it for three decades. I've trained out there, and I still didn't realize the full extent of what the depot really does. But the Anniston Army Depot is a place where, I mean, literally, like, well, here's a story. I pulled this off of military.com. It's a few years old. Nonetheless, military.com reports that at the depot, the Anniston Army Depot sits on a 25-square-mile tract of land about 10 miles outside of Anniston, Alabama, 60 miles east of Birmingham. And it not only destroys old weapons and you know, breaks them down, but it also repairs all manners of combat vehicles. During the war in Iraq especially, as IEDs and other incidents would wind up damaging armored vehicles, they would be sent to the Anniston Army Depot for refit. And then at times, they would also be then sold to foreign nations who use our, you know, weapons. Refitted and sold, sometimes refurbished and put back on the front. It's not uncommon for a vehicle that had been taken out in Iraq to be shipped back, reconditioned, and then shipped over again. And that happens. The question then becomes, what is going on with Anniston Army Depot right now with the war in Ukraine? As we're trying to outfit them with things, what is being done? And I'll be honest with you, I've got sources that tell me that right now the Anniston Army Depot is highly engaged in that process. And I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find that if there are old armored vehicles in our inventory that we are willing to part with, that they'll have to come through Anniston, Alabama to get refitted before being sent over. Interesting piece. Things that are happening, though, in regard to this. One of the others is that a story off the Madison Record. Madison Record dated April 15th of this month, or last month. Command headquartered at Redstone Arsenal is supporting efforts in Ukraine. So during a recent speech that he gave to a veterans group in Decatur, I think it was in Decatur, wasn't it? Limestone County. Over in Limestone County at the Veteran Post 21, Lieutenant General Daniel Karbler, who is the commander of the U.S. Army Space and Missile Defense Command headquartered at Redstone Arsenal, clearly said the U.S. Army Space and Missile Defense Command is supporting efforts in Ukraine right now. He went on to say that through the use of their air and missile defense enterprise integrator, through the use of the fact that they have to deploy Patriots to other parts of the world, and it comes through his command, through the fact that his space experts, he says, are doing everything from looking at what the bad guy's satellites are doing to what our satellites are capable of doing, that all of this is coming through Redstone Arsenal. So that being said, I find it interesting. In many ways, what you're looking at here right now is the war effort in Ukraine is being touched by Alabama in a big way. What else have I got in my stack right here? I've had this thing sitting on my desk now for days. One of which is the Lend-Lease program. So as I wrap up this segment, I'll just say that the Lend-Lease program is interesting. Did you know that the Lend-Lease program is a World War II era program by which Congress could get weapons overseas without having to go through usual procurement means. It's a speed up of the process. And it's something that hasn't been used since World War II. It was originally done to try and get weapons into the hands of the British before we got into the war. Well, Congress the other day revived, this is a story off military.com again, dated April 28th. Congress has revived a World War II era tool to quickly ship weapons to Ukraine as President Joe Biden urgently requests billions in new funding, warning that existing weapons funding has nearly run out. Story is that they overwhelmingly voted to pass a new Lend-Lease program. What they're looking at doing here is they have the ability now to get weapons in the hands of Ukrainians quicker and to do so through other NATO nations and surrounding nations. They can then lend quote-unquote weapon systems to, say, I don't know, Moldova. Moldova then has the ability to then lease those over to the Ukrainians for use. Not unlike some of the things that we did with, say, the Flying Tigers when we had volunteers flying planes against the Japanese from inside of China. Or not unlike what I said a moment ago when we got weapon systems into the hands of the British, some of which was to fight the Battle of Britain, the air war over London. And so I'm just telling you, it's interesting now. And what you're winding up seeing tier two is the bill, it passed overwhelmingly, 417-10. And the Alabama delegation voted for it in full, I believe. All right, folks, listen, I'm going to go ahead and move to a break right now. That's been Bama at War. I've had that sitting on the desk for days. Just finally got back to it. But nonetheless, I think it's interesting that the President of the United States is here today to go and meet with workers who are helping turn the tide on the war in Ukraine, and that we as a state are doing things that are actually making a difference. All right, take that to heart. Bama at War. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You stay tuned. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. So, all right, time now, 4:23 p.m. Some of you folks are already getting like leaning forward in the chair, headed for the door. It's like it's the end of the day. You can feel it. And you're thinking, okay, where am I going to go for dinner? What am I going to do in the morning when I'm coming back in for breakfast? I mean, if food is on your mind, let me just suggest to you, Just Love Coffee Cafe is a place you might want to check out. So yeah, that would be a cool thing. In the morning on your way in, we got two locations to choose from, one on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville, the other on Hughes Road in Madison out by City Hall. So Just Love Coffee Cafe, you can stop in the morning and get you an epic cup of hot black coffee, freshly ground, light roast, medium roast, dark roast, or you can go for the big stuff like the cappuccinos, the mocha lattes, the espressos. They've got all the goodness there. So yeah, caffeine, the elixir of life, in my opinion. But all that to say, they've also got great food. You could stop on the way home tonight and get sandwiches, wraps, salads. You could have breakfast for dinner, or in the morning, come on in and get you a womlet. Yes, a womlet. It's an omelet cooked in a waffle iron with all kinds of goodness in it. And that hot cup of coffee. Listen, I'm just telling you, Just Love Coffee Cafe is a great location. It's got two places here in the area, Hughes Road in Madison, South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. And you can have a great time just sitting there using their internet Wi-Fi, reading a book, visiting with friends, or take it out to go. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Check them out. And tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, Copper, did I have a caller? What's the deal? What was that about?
Yes, Trey from Madison. He has heard rumors that Putin has cancer and is going in for an operation and temporarily turning over control of Russia's government to his head of federal police.
Huh. To his head of federal police? Why would he do that when he has a prime minister? I mean, he's got...
Good question. I don't know.
Well, I will say this. There has been speculation. First of all, I don't know anything about that in terms of, you know, specifics. I do know there has been speculation that Putin's health is not well. There are some who believe that he may have a condition that has not been made known to the world at large. He has been known to be isolating himself quite a bit during COVID, like he's COVID panicked. But nonetheless, I don't have any information about Putin having surgery. So I got nothing for you on that. I will say this. There's a lot of folks, though, that say that he has become far more extreme in his views in recent years. And I think that's evident by the way he's been taking care of the situation or handling the situation in Ukraine. So I tell you what, let me just look at something real quick and make sure there's not a headline that I thought I saw coming. Ukraine. Well, one thing about Ukraine I did want to point out, and you know, I'll give her props. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, along with several others, actually went to Ukraine the other day. She was actually with Zelensky in Ukraine. It was a surprise visit. Of course, that has to happen because they don't want to give away the travels of the Speaker of the House. She's what is she? Third in line to the presidency, I think. So there's that. Now they're not going to send Biden over there. Too dangerous, but it's also just not the kind of thing you need to have President Biden having a gaffe in the war zone. But Speaker Pelosi was there, so props to her for that. Especially when you consider the fact that she's like what 88, 89 years old. So that's no small trip for anybody. I mean, that's some epic level the jet lag. But she was there, had her picture made with Zelensky. So there's that. Also, explosions and power outages in the city of Lviv. Why is that, you know, in a war, why is it important to point out another explosion? Because it's on the western side of the nation. It's, you know, most of the fighting right now is in the east, along the eastern rim of the country, up against the Russian border, and then kind of curling down to the southeast, southern portions that tie what they call the land bridge to the Crimean Peninsula. That's where the actual fighting is occurring. However, Lviv is on the far western side, near the border with Poland, and I believe there's speculation they may have targeted a fuel dump. Basically, I heard one analyst say, in part, they're doing it to take out the fuel dump, and in part, they're doing it to show they can. All right, real quick before I lose my time, I got a caller coming in on line 5, so I'll grab it. We got about a minute. Mark from Madison, how you doing?
Doing good. Love your show, and wanted to call in, and nobody's really talked about this. I know that the coppers definitely promotes pro-life. All they've been talking about today is the abortions and how there's more low-income individuals that have abortions. I wonder why nobody has. I have a sister and a brother-in-law that have tried to adopt for a long time, and it's very expensive. What if they were to do for some of these individuals, like, you know, hey, if you have the baby, let the money that these families that want to adopt go to that person and pay them.
Interesting thought, you know, and there's nothing wrong with state legislation that does it. But, a great point there is you got to be careful appearing to be selling children. I mean, you could create a cottage industry. There's right. People that would, I'm sure, would co-opt that in a heartbeat and create an illicit activity out of it. And you know, you don't want baby farms.
No, for sure. I just think that somebody, especially the individuals where if their only choice is I can't have this baby because I can't afford to at least pay for the cost of that food, things like that. Maybe not necessarily just cash money, but
yeah. Well, and you know what? I think to your point, though, there has to be a means to incentivize adoption and to reduce the cost of it. Mark, up against a break, man. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you being in the audience. We're going to come right back with number 3 in the Triple Dipper. Wait till you hear what the liberal mayor of Birmingham said about the Roe v. Wade decision. Oh, yeah. Mayoral elections have consequences. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.